Hallelujah. Name is Christ. We commence third sharing on apologetics facing homosexuality. Yesterday, when I was answering all the questions, there's one question that I did not finish answering, is that what is the difference between lust and desire? Lust and desire. Can anyone share it? What's the difference between lust and desire? Brothers? Any brothers? You raise your hand back there. Oh, okay. Trying to get reception. Yeah, Daniel. I'm sorry, can you speak a little bit louder, please? Is that right? That's why I asked the question. Yeah, yes, brother. Okay, one is seeking and one is having the thought. Okay. Yes? Okay, desire comes from God and the lust come from our flesh. Actually, remember when God created the Garden of Eden and said every tree was for what? What was the tree good for? Yes, good for food and pleasant to the eye, right? So actually, that is desire. God give us this desire inside our heart that is very healthy. I mean, if we are a robot, we have no feelings for anything, that is a problem, right? So if you talk to people who go into the hospital, they have no desire for anything, right? They don't want to eat, they don't want to sleep, they don't want to stay awake, they have no desire for anything. And that kind of life actually is quite sad, right? Quite sad. So it's normal, right? It's normal if a brother look at a sister, you feel like, wow, she's beautiful. It's normal. Because that is what God put inside our heart, and vice versa also with sisters. But if you look at a sister to what? To desire to the point that you lust after her, you have bad thoughts. That's a different. To look at something and desire to feel as beautiful, there's nothing wrong with that. No, when Adam saw Eve, he said, bone's my bone and flesh is my flesh. So for me, you know, when you get married one day, don't think that God wants you to marry an ugly person. Right? No. That's not God's intention. Can you imagine if God brought Eve to Adam and Adam looked at Eve and said, wow, God, what is that? Right? And he had to live for 900 years with Eve. Can you imagine that? Every morning you wake up, oh, what is that? You know? Every night you go to bed, what is that? Right? Of course not. But of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, we're talking about Simone. Simone liked big, heavy women, right? And that is the culture, right? And Gabriel say, oh, I that's not me. I don't like that, right? But of course, Mexican tend to do the same too, right? Mexican? Not you. But you know, but it's different culture. Really, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So in other words, there's always a rib. No, every Adams have your own rib, right? So don't try to go steal somebody else's rib. Just make sure you get the right rib for you that fit nicely into your, into your rib. So the problem is that, lust, it become unhealthy. Desire is not unhealthy, but lust become unhealthy. Even though you love a person very much, and you love them to the point that you have this lustful thought, then you give a foothold to Satan. So that's why, for me, I don't really believe too much in engagement. If you want to get married, you know, if you feel a person is right for you, and spiritually you are stable, financially you are stable, and what else? Spiritually, financially, emotionally, yes, the third, right? Emotionally, if you are stable, go ahead and get married. Why you need to be engaged? Why do I say that? Because engaged, just waiting for things to happen. Engaged, you're not married yet. So, but you, sometime you hang out or you live, you spend time together just like a married couple. Of course, when you do this, you're in danger of committing sin against God. If you want to get married, you are ready, get married already. Why? Because that desire become very lustful. The desire become lustful, and that lust can cause us to sin. So that's why between a wife and husband, there's no such thing as lust. Why? Because that is healthy desire for one another. Okay? And lust quite often is something that you should not have, or you're not allowed to have, and you lust after it. It's also, that is the problem, my problem. Okay, any other thought on that? Okay, we got to go back to our topic. Okay, so we have here, I did some research, and it's true. On June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that gay marriage is a right protected by the U.S. Constitution in all 50 states, right? So, of course, America, we are very, I guess, late on approving gay marriage. But almost every other country, right, it's really not a big deal, especially in Europe. Right, especially in Europe. Next one. Okay, let's do some apologetics. Right? The purpose of marriage is to procreate, and same-sex couple cannot have children. So this is what, you know, for us as Christian, when you and I get married, is to procreate, to continue to multiply and be fruitful. So for those who are pro same-sex marriage, what would they use against this? Yes, brother. Okay, adoption, okay. Okay, if you adopt and then there's no one to procreate, who are you going to adopt? Right? What would they use against this? It's true, adoption and use, yes? Yes, actually, that's a good point. How do you know that? You're smart, right? Actually, that's what they said, right? They say, look, why are you using that for, right? Should we prohibit straight couples from getting married if they biologically incapable of having kids? What about if they simply don't want kids? Right, that is their, you know, rebuttal. And that's what they say, look, that's not going to help us any. So, and as Christian, what should we say? Brothers, as Christian, what should we say? Say to this, right? They're saying, look, should we prohibit, right? Should we stop straight couples who want to get married, but biologically they cannot have children, or simply, maybe they don't want to have children? So should they not marry? So what do you guys think? Actually, when you look at this whole argument from the pro same-sex marriage, no, it's nothing have to do with sin at all. It has to do with opinions and different ideas. So remember that, right? But of course, you and I need to also have wisdom to answer such a thing. Of course, God did not create Adam and Steve, right? God created Adam and Eve. And we know that from the beginning. And I'm sure that if God brought Steve to Adam, he probably would be very confused. Why is another me around, right? I don't need me. I need another something else, you know? Right? You know? But the thing is, of course, what else can we say about the sisters? Any thought? Any thought? What else can we say? Yes? Actually, yeah, you're exactly right. Actually, quite often when the pro-same-sex marriage they never do anything with, you know, the original concept of an argument, that is sin, that is wrong, right? They wouldn't do that, right? So all they're saying, they try to use excuse as human being. Look, even, okay, even this, the straight couple, even though maybe in the beginning they cannot have kids and stuff like that, but in the Bible, right, there's many women who cannot have children, but they pray to God and God bless them with children, right? But can that happen between a woman and a woman and a man and a man? Can they go and try, for example, of course, this situation is not only that, you know, the female has problems, but male also have problems, right? But of course, through scientific and things like that, it's much better now. But not only that, you and I, as Christians, at, you know, even though biologically, maybe we cannot have children, but if we pray to God, and God give us grace, then for sure we can have children. But between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, no matter how hard you pray, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to conceive. Right? And that's the reality. Yes? But actually, it's biblical. Yes. Yeah, yeah. We're going through the whole. Yes. Actually, the reason why we're using this because, as Christian, this is some of the example why we get married, because the teaching from the Bible, right? And one of them, actually, one of the greatest ones that you go out and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. So we, as Christians, we use this, you know, against same-sex marriage. But they also use this to go against it. That's what we're going to do, back and forth. So now we're going to go through different reasons why we as Christians get married. Right? Yes? So is it wrong if you don't want to have children? Is it wrong? No, no, it's not wrong. It's one of the purposes, right? It's not you have to. Thou shalt have children. That's different. That's different. But it's one of the purpose is to multiply and be fruitful on the earth. That's one of the purpose. But nowadays, I mean, you go to Africa, I met a sister, she's 39 years old. She has 19 children. Okay? And she looks great. She's in great shape and everything. Right? Like 19 children, mama mia, right? Just like... how can that be? But you know what? They all work in the field, right? They all, when I'm there, I didn't even see most of them. Like, they're just out somewhere doing this, doing that. Can you have 19 children now in America? Yes, I mean, if you have 19 children now, is you can. You do whatever you want. It's the free country, right? But nowadays, most people have one or two children, right? One or two children. Of course, our choice, our free will, we want to have children or not. But of course, children is a blessing from the Lord. But also, children can be the curse too, right? Just like Eli's two kids, right? Right? I mean, that's a very... I mean, they're supposed to be the one that taken over, being the high priest and stuff, but, you know, they cannot, right? Yes? In vitro, I mean, in vitro, I mean, it's as long as you use your own, right? I mean, using the, you know, I guess what? You cannot use donors, right? You cannot use donors. As long as the egg is from your wife, right? And then the sperm is from the husband, it's fine, right? It's just another way to get together, right? That's all it is, right? But you cannot use, you know, other donors and stuff like that, right? Of course, those kinds of things is more complicated, right? We cannot just answer yes and no, and quite often you need to really look into the case-by-case situation too, right? Okay? So here, what if you don't want to have kids, that's your choice, right? That's your choice. Of course, for them, this is a way to overcome this to adopt, right? To adopt children. Of course, to adopt children, you need those who can multiply. Right? Is it not true? If you don't have people, if you just go an island full of homosexual, within 60 years, 80 years, the whole island will be gone. Right? Because you cannot reproduce. You cannot reproduce. Okay? Good. And of course, for us, is that the purpose of marriage is to procreate, and same-sex couple cannot have children. We know that. But the first purpose was so that man could have a companion. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. And this is, what God wanted for Adam. Remember, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Just look a little bit deeper into this concept of marriage. Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. So in this verse, what does it tell us about God's thinking in verse 20? Right. What was God's thinking in verse 20? For Adam. Brothers, where did God try to find a person that compatible to him? Where? From where? What's that? Okay, the garden, but from where? According to verse 20. Yes, from animals, right? From the cattle, from the birds of the air, from every beast of the field, but they find none compatible. So these cattle, the bird of the air, the beast of the field, this represent who? According to the book of Acts, according to the Old Testament, they represent who? Gentiles. They represent Gentiles. Of course, don't think the reason why we cannot marry Gentiles because they're evil. No. Because in the eye of the Lord, if you're not baptized, you live a life in sin. And the only way that sin to go away is through baptism. So everyone, I mean, for me, I love elephants. I mean, elephants, they should be the king of the jungle, right? Because elephants, they're not lazy like the lions, right? And see, the male lions, they allow the female lion to go and hunt, and then they eat all the food, right? And they get really hungry to eat their own cub, right? That's not nice, right? But you can see a lot of animals are very cute, right? Giraffe, elephant. But can you imagine if God brought an elephant to Adam? Bones my bone, flesh my flesh. I don't think you could say that, right? Because elephant's bones way bigger than Adam's bone, right? And you ever see an elephant's flesh? Right? So thick, right? Because all the animals, God make them out of dirt, the earth. But God make human out of dust, right? What is the difference between dirt and dust? Fine. Yes. It's much more fine. Like, look, especially being Asian, right? Your skin is so smooth, right? Right? Your skin is so smooth. You think you can rub an elephant like, wow, smooth skin, right? Of course not, right? Of course, this represent what? Gentile. But not only that, but even if we marry the opposite sex, the Bible tells us, where did Eve come from? Where did Eve come from? Adam. Adam's rib, Adam's body. So nowadays, when you are married, you must marry someone from the same body, right? Who is the second Adam? Jesus. So we also must marry from the person from the same body. Who is that? Who is that person? Church members. Yes. From the beginning, the Lord teaches us in such a way. Right? From the beginning. So for us, even to talk about homosexuality, it's right? Really? The reason why we talk about it because we want to be able to do apologetics to answer what is right. But homosexuality is already a clear-cut case that is a sin in the eyes of the Lord. And we shouldn't even care about that, but more about men in Christ. Even men in Christ, some people, even though they're baptized, but the inward man is still there, right? You also need to be very careful. All these things you and I need to know. But, of course, when it comes to homosexuality, I know what happened to the... Can someone try to see if we can switch? Oh, maybe see. Should I use a different window or something? That's gonna be fine. That's fine. It's fine like that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes. So we can see that God make a helper that is compatible to Adam, and this is what's important. And men in Christ, that's what's important. Why? Because it's not like, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, they're not good. It's nothing have to do with that. It has to do with God's righteousness, right? God's righteousness. Okay, next one. After this, God created a woman from Adam's rib and told them to be fruitful and multiply. If God wanted man and man to be together, why didn't he create other men? Would have not been easier, right? But of course, to God, everything is easy. But I mean, from the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And from the beginning, God also...
Thank you.
Okay. Next one. So should we prohibit straight couples from getting married if they are biologically incapable of having kids? Right? Let's see this. This is a stat. Right? This is a stat. About 10% of women, 6.1 million in the United States, ages 15 to 44, have difficulty getting pregnant and staying pregnant. According to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, but it's not always the women's problem. Both men and women can have problems that cause infertility. Okay? So about 6 million people in the United States, right, 6 million. There are multiple examples in the Bible in which women were infertile or did not have children, but still marry. Right? Sarah, Hannah, Rachel, the Shunammite woman, and Elizabeth. So we can see, of course, for us to argue in such a way is not for the pro-same-sex marriage. Actually, it's for our own mentality, for our own spirituality, to understand this. So really, a sin is a sin. It doesn't matter how you look at it. For example, nowadays we always have Robin Hood mentality, right? Robin Hood mentality. What does that mean, Robin Hood mentality? what you know people call Robin Hood is a what? What's another name for Robin Hood? A prince of thief, right? A prince of thief, right? So yeah, okay, you call him a prince of thieves. It means, you know, he's the origin, right? The prince, he's the one that's up there being a thief, right? And people feel like, you know why? Because he steals from the rich and gives to the poor. And that's why he's a hero. But to God, what is Robin Hood? He's a sinner. That's all he is, right? Why? Because you steal. Doesn't matter you steal from the rich, the poor, the whatever. You steal stealing. You're still stealing, right? So don't have that kind of concept. And that's why nowadays, you know, many Christians use the word love to cover everything. You could not use chocolate to cover a cockroach and say it's edible. It's still a cockroach in there. So we as Christians, sometimes we don't understand that concept. Look, yes, you try to dilute every teaching of the Word of God to make it edible, to make it sound good. But no matter what you say, it's not going to be good. Homosexuality is abomination to the Lord. And that is just like a drunkard, just like all liars. That is sin. But we don't use excuses that you and I are born with that tendency or because the environment shapes us the way we are. Whatever it is, we use the Spirit of God to overcome it. We use the Spirit of God to be able to subdue those kind of weaknesses. This is in everything in our lives. Do you have members in church, pedophile? We have members in church? What do you guys think? Yes. Yes. Don't think we don't have any. Do we have members who have a tendency to want to rape? Yes. All of sin is in the world. It's also in us and also inside the church. What's the difference between TJC members and the people who do not believe in God? They be able to live a holy and righteous life even though they have this kind of tendency. It's not because of you and I, because of God's power. That's what you and I need to remember. So homosexuality to me is just like any other sin. That's all it is. But nowadays the world makes it such a big deal, right? You know, now the Catholic Church, they want to remove what commandments? The 7 commandments, right? Why? What's that? Why do they want to, what is the 7 commandments? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why do they want to remove it? What's that? Yes, because everybody does it. So they feel, you know what? The commandment doesn't retain to us anymore. Just get rid of it already, right? So that's why when you go to most of the churches, they never talk about adultery. Really, in our church, praise and thank God, most of our brothers and sisters who are married, they stay married for life. And this is very commendable. And look at how many of you here are still virgins, right? You can go to any other churches, I'm telling you. A group, maybe all of you sitting here, 95% of you are not virgins anymore. Why? Because that's what the world teaches young people to do. Most of the teenagers out there, by the time 16, 17 years old, they already have 3 to 4 sexual partners already. And it is the reality. But do you and I feel it's right to do? Of course not. To fornicate is abomination to the Lord. That's why praise and thank God. All this teaching, not because we are legalistic, because we follow the Word of God. So have that kind of thought inside our mind. And no matter what they say, the pro-same-sex marriage, no matter what they say, the origin of homosexual marriage is sin. That's all it is. Okay? Next one. All these women long for children, and through God's grace, were able to have children. How many of you know any brother or sister in church, they cannot have children, then later on, God bless them with children? Yes. Can you raise your hand here? Yeah. It's quite a bit. Actually, yeah, I know quite a bit. And the doctor said, no way you can have children, this and that, right? But thank God, to God's grace, they can have children. Of course, and there's some, you know, try and try and cannot have children. Okay. what happened if they won't have children? The vast majority of married women ultimately have children. Is that, I mean, and that is the truth, right? That is the truth. The percentage of married women aged 40 to 44 who had no biological children and no other kids in the household, such as adopted children or stepkids, was 6% in the period of from 2006 to 2010. So in other words, you know, 94% of married women, they have children, one way or another, right? We have children. And the 6% is a very minority, just like my wife and I, we have no children, right? And the reason why we cannot have any children because we decide not to have, because I'm never home, right? And my wife say, if we want to have children, why would, you know, and you're never home, who's going to take care of them and who's going to go to work? If my wife doesn't work, I can't live, right? And so we decide not to. And now that after this year, I'm going to stay home more. And I ask my wife, do you want to have children? Do you want to have kids, right? And my wife's like, oh, let me pray about it, right? 2 days later, she's like, oh, I don't have a kid. She's like, I'm too old now, you know? I say, yeah, all right, you know? I mean, it's just the choice like that. To have children is a great blessing, but also it's a pain. It's a pain too, right? You got to understand. Of course, a blessing you be able to bring up your children in the Lord and to be able to come to church just like all of you. You come here for 2 weeks to study God's word. It's a great blessing. But there are also many children out there doing things that's not good, right? But either way, you and your spouse have to decide what you want to do. To have children, not to have children. Even to adopt. Right? I know some couple, they adopt children. They're very happy. They're very joyful. And as we learn from the world, the word, I skipped that a little bit, but matrimonium, you know what that means? Anybody know what it means? That's what it means right there. Marriage intended for the wife to become a mother. That's why they call it matrimonium, right? It's derived from the Latin word. Okay. Now let's look at this. Children raised by a mother and a father are more emotionally well-adjusted than those raised by same-sex parents. What do you guys think? Okay, brothers, any thought? You agree? Okay. What's your reason for agreeing? The same thing, is it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, if there's two lesbians are married, they always determine which one is the father, which one is the mother, right? Right? So, yeah, so. You know, so when you get married, of course, you already know which one is the more, you know, manly. You know, that has become the husband, right? And that one become the wife. But what you're saying, David, is completely true because, you know, the way, you know, I have two nieces and nephew lived with me before, and the way my wife treat them is very different than me treating them. Right? Because I remember one time I got a call from school, and the reason I got this call because my nephew fell off his chair and broke his lip, right? Broke his lip. So I went over there, and then he's in the office. He's all crying, right? This and that. And I see he's all bleeding, get all this tissue, blood all over the place, right? And I ask him, how did you fall? Because I always tell him, I say, 7, when you sit on a chair, sit, you know, correctly. Don't go on your tiptoe and stuff like that, right? You're not kids, they're always on their tiptoes on the chair, right? So I say, how did you fall? He's like, I don't know, uncle. I'm just sitting on a chair and my face hit the table. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm just sitting and all of a sudden my face hit the table. I say, did you sit on your tippy toe? He's like, oh, yeah, maybe, right? Because he was younger, right? Then of course his lip got really, is really bad, right? He's all bleeding, stuff like that. And he's like, oh, I want to go home, uncle. I'm going. I say, hey, this is opportunity to be cool, right? He say, what do you mean? Say, think about it. You're all bleeding. You're all tough, right? Just go back to your class, right? And all the kids see you all bleeding, all tough, right? And it's like, wow, 7 is cool, right? Then he thought about it, it's like, yeah, uncle, you're right. Right? And then the other time we gather all his tissue, all the blood, right? Yeah, he bring it like, yeah, just go back to your class, buddy. You know, where about, right? You know? So when he went there and he go there and his clothes all bleeding, it's all blood, it's all tissue, and he's like, then he just went back to his class, right? But if my wife go there, do you think she would treat the same thing? No. Are you all right, 7? Right? Oh, let's go home, okay? Mommy, you put something on your lips, right? It's nothing wrong with that. But you need both sides, right? Really, you need to have a man's view in things. For me, I tell my nephew, look, if you're not bleeding, I don't want to hear you crying. Right? You have to be a man, right? And when you go play football and you catch the football with your face, don't cry, right? You just learn how to be a better catcher, right, of the ball. People don't catch ball with their face. If you do that, why would you cry? You're the one who has the problem, right? Of course, for most mothers, they would not say this, right? Because mother wouldn't even think, like, for me, yeah, you're a boy, you want to play sports. Of course, when you fall and scrape your knees, when you're this and that, hey, that's normal. But, of course, you cannot always be like that. You also need a mother, right, to nourish, you know, and to show affection, emotion also to the children. So you must be able to balance it out. And that's why if you feel like, okay, you have two mothers. First, you are so confused. Mother, I want the other mother to look exactly like the, which one is the father, which one is the mother? Right? You're confused as children, right? Think about this. If you have two mothers there, and then which one to call father? You don't have anyone to call father. If you have two fathers, which one to call mother? Well, you have no one to call mother. Just that alone would traumatize a child. But of course, they do a lot of research and that kind of stuff have no, you know, they don't prove any kind of those things happen with, you know, same-sex marriage. But just think for yourself. Right? Just think for yourself. For me, really, my Cambodian mothers, she's very affectionate. She's such a loving woman. But my dad is just the opposite. My dad, he's a man's man, right? I mean, my dad, he say one word, and you don't listen, you're in trouble. That's how he is. When he come to the table and eat, he does not say one word. My mother just cook, and, you know, it's old school, right? He just sit down. My mother, you know, bring food and stuff to him to eat without saying one word. When he go on the couch, put his feet up, my mother is there massaging his feet, right? And that's the way it is. That's a man and a woman. But you know what? They love each other so much, right? They love each other so much. So, but imagine if I don't live in a kind of household. See, I have two mothers. Both my mothers are so emotional, so compassionate. And, you know, when I do things, they teach me a way that's very feminine to do things, right? Would that affect me? Of course it would affect me. For me, I would have such big trouble. Why? Because for me, I feel like, you know, I'm a man's man. You know, I like to be a man, right? I like to be a man. I like to do things as a man. And I like being a man that men is stronger than women, right? I always show off to my wife, my niece. I would say, hey, try to pick that up, right? And they go there and they try. I say, how can you pick it up? It's so heavy, right? And I just go there, right? And pick it up, say, right? That's being a man, right? So, and quite often, even my wife, when she walk with me, right, for example, right? And this also, my niece and nephew, they always around us too, right? When I walk with my wife, she feels safe. Why? Because I'm a man, right? And she knows that wherever we go, she does not need to pay attention to anything because as a man, I will protect her. And this is what my niece and nephew and they all live around me. That's what they see. What happened if my wife is with another woman? And where they go? I mean, how can you learn from that? But of course, this is my personal opinion. And you can have your own thought and your own opinions also, right? But let's go, you know, this pro-sex, same-sex rebuttal, okay? On measure of general health and family cohesion, children aged 5 to 17 years with same-sex attracted parents show a significantly better score when compared to Australian children from all backgrounds and family contexts. For all other health measures, there were no statistically significant differences. So here they try to prove, look, okay? But of course, can you really measure a person's psyche, right? Or their mentality? Can you really measure that? You cannot. Of course, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of gay friends. I'm telling you, they are super nice people. And they cook really good, and they know how to dress, right? And they buy expensive things. And before Christ, of course, I like to hang out with them. Why? Because they know they always on time, right? And, you know, and when you go shopping, and when you go out, they always dress very fancy, very nice, right? But sometimes my guy friends, when we go out, they're like, they always look so sloppy and stuff like that. Before then, we want to attract women, right? And all my guys' friends, they look like they're just homeless, right? I don't want to go with them, right? So when I go with my gay friends and stuff like that, they all look so cool, right? They wear Armani suit and things like that, right? But of course, I don't hang out with them anymore. But what I'm saying that if we use the, you know, external condition to judge a person, it's very difficult to say. But I'm sure, you know, the psyche or the emotion that a person goes through, that is something that's very hard to measure. And that one. An estimate of 16,000 same-sex couples are raising more than 22,000 adopted children in the U.S., and these findings indicate that these children will likely feel no differently as a result of their family type than those being raised by heterosexual parents. Of course, we can use whatever excuses. Remember, it's not about same-sex parents, they are bad parents. It's not about that. Right? We know it's not about that. It's about what's right and what's wrong in the eyes of the Lord. For me, you know what? If I did not know the Lord, if you want to, you know, to be with the same sex, you go ahead. You know, it's your choice, whatever you want to do. You want to adopt children, whatever is your life, you do it. But for us, when it comes to our faith, we should not approve such, you know, sin that people want to make it and try to normalize it is okay. It's not okay. Just like nowadays. You know why divorce rate is still 50%? Can anybody guess why it's still 50% and not increasing the last several years? You know why? The divorce rate. You guys know why? Take a guess why. Yes. Okay, less people get married. It's true. It's true. What else? Anyone? Yes. Okay, it's not a spiritual marriage, a carnal marriage, but that's what they love to do, actually. Right? Because it's carnal, that's why they stay together, actually, quite often, right? Yes. The same people can divorce, okay? Okay, yes? Okay, the number of gay marriages. Actually, okay, time is up. So actually, now they have open marriage. You guys heard about that, right? You guys heard of open marriage? It's mean you are married, but you know what? You can have girlfriends and boyfriends, right? You can have your cake and eat it too. That's what it is, right? So you are married. You know what? My angel, you are married, but you can have a girlfriend. You know, but we can live together for the sake of our children, right? And things like that. So that's why the divorce rate has not gone up. Why? Because nowadays, instead of getting divorced to be with another person, they just stay together and agreed to be with other person. You guys understand that? And that becomes so polluted, right? Becomes so unhealthy, actually, for any relationship. So that's why nowadays the whole world becomes full of perversion. But you and I must stand firm in our faith. Let's bow and pray in silence. Amen. And tonight,